Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the You Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's going on? Your text went to green this week. And I was like, one of three things has happened. And I was like, either Jordana has lost her phone or her and I are no longer friends. She's just cut me off. Blocked. Or she's moved to an Android. And Android was third on the list of things that could have happened. So what?
I mean, are you okay? I moved to Long Island City. Anything could happen. That might be like the next step in that process. No. Okay. I'm not okay.
Uh-oh.
So
this is every. I mean, this is are you okay's worst nightmare. How you doing?
Actually, I'm not.
Oh no!
I'll tell you how I'm doing.
I have to use the bathroom. I gotta go. Good luck with your life. Yeah. So get into it. Let's hear a rant.
Okay, so I was in Mexico last weekend. I'm sure some people noticed, went to see my wedding venue. It was great. I was riding a fucking bike, which was great, until I dropped my phone on the bike and the screen cracked, right?
You know what's so funny about this? The last thing, I actually thought to myself, I texted you, it went to green, and I was like, last I saw her, she was on a bike having the best day of her life.
now I'm gone.
Yeah, now gone.
Never maybe to be heard from again. Yeah.
I was like, this bike trip must have ended in heart. So it dropped off the bike cracked.
It dropped off the bike cracked. I'm like, okay, I kind of need an upgrade anyway. Like the phone's still working. It's just cracked. So on Monday, I take it to Verizon and I've got like an appointment. I took it to Verizon Williamsburg and I had an appointment in Williamsburg. So I just took it there before and the guy's like, oh, I can transfer over all your data to the new phone. It'll just take like an hour or two. So I'm like, okay, I'll leave it there. And then I'll come back and get it after. So I go get my braces tightened.
This is actually a middle school day. My phone cracked. I had to go get it fixed.
I was on my
then
bike.
I went and got my yeah. I was on my bicycle, phone cracked, got my braces tightened.
I come back after, they're like, something's like a little off, it's going to take a few hours, like, well, if you call us, like, we'll call you when it's ready and you can come back and get it. So I went home, and then they call me that night, and there's like, so there's an issue in, like, with the phone, and it's not working or it's not moving over to the new phone. It's like in limbo. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I'll come get the old phone. Like, what do you mean? They're like, no, like the phone, like you can come get the old phone, but it won't work. Like neither phone works. Your phone number is like in the stratosphere, not connected to any device.
Oh my God. And like, this is the point where I'm crying on the floor naked in the fetal position. Like this is hard. I am never not on my phone. This is horrifying to me.
Honestly, it was like someone had cut off my arm. I don't mean to be dramatic.
Not to be dramatic.
But I was like, okay. And also, let me just add to this a little extra like luxury problem, first world issue. I have my bachelorette on Thursday.
This Thursday? Tomorrow night.
Yes, tomorrow night I'm leaving for my bachelorette. Right. This happened on Monday.
I wish we had video because my jaw just hit the floor. The idea that you would go on a bachelorette party with no phone, like it's 1995. This is crazy.
That's literally the biggest of first world luxury issues. But yeah. So
listen,
I
love a luxury problem. Yeah.
I'm already scrambling to put together my outfits. So it's already stressful enough in a first world way. I'm like, you know, I'm ill prepared. I have to assemble the outfits for Instagram. I don't have a phone. it's the worst thing that could happen to a millennial woman who's like extremely privileged.
Jordana, Jordana, you do not have to say the word privileged in front of me. This is the worst thing that could literally ever happen to anyone in their entire lives. And I am not exaggerating one bit. You have come to the right person
Thank
to
God.
Complain to this about. This is a safe space. You're right. This is horrifying. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy.
Actually, though, just because then it gets worse, right? So it's the next day, it's Tuesday now. I'm calling them like every like fucking 10 minutes for an update, seeing if they fix it. They're like, I'm on tech support. I have all your info. I keep calling them, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then like,
where are you calling from? A landline? Like, how do you even call?
I'm calling from Mike's phone, who's also very irritated with me because now I'm insisting that we share his phone.
Oh no, Mike's like, I just let me get back to my explore page. Oh shit.
Kind of, actually. He's like in this group text. They're like popping up while I'm there. He's like, just give me back the phone. I can't take this.
Mike can't even take a shit.
So I'm talking to the guy at the Verizon store, and he's like, listen, like, I'll be real with you. Like, I'm calling tech support. They don't know how to like fix it. They don't know what's going on. Like, they said it'll be like 24 to 48 hours. And I'm like, 24 to 48. I'm fucking crying.
You're like, let me just see the phone. I just want to see it. Like it's like your kid in the hospital.
Show me that it's alive.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. I'm like, this sounds crazy. I've never heard of anything like this happening. So I call Verizon. And at first Verizon's like, that sounds very sketchy. Like, I don't think that would ever happen with us. And then they transfer me over to the tech people. And the tech guy is like, oh, they did that. They're like, wow, that's the worst thing they could have possibly done, because you're not going to be able to be on your phone for a bit.
Where did you bring your, was it an approved store or was it the actual Verizon store?
It said Verizon on.
Oh, Jordana. Jordana, no. You went to what, it had a sticker on the window?
I wanted the buyback for the old phone.
Ever since you got these braces, I am not trusting your decision making. You are, Jordana. The
I looked
phone,
for the closest Verizon retailer.
Your phone. This is something I made a deal with myself many years ago. I was like, the amount I use my phone, the amount of money I'm paying for it. There's never too much.
Well, the amount
I use it, like the care. Okay, so you went to a Verizon approved alley.
It says Verizon on the fucking like masthead of it, so I assume it's Verizon.
Yeah, my shirt says Nike. I'm not an athlete.
You know. So, but they didn't tell me that they fucked up. Obviously, the person on the Verizon tech support told me they fucked up, and they're like, "I'm gonna make a ticket so someone deals with this." And you know, I have to say, we're a little backed up.
I'm going to make a ticket. Famous last words. Okay.
And you know when you're like so extremely frustrated and the guy's like, so how's the weather out there in New York?
Oh, my God. No.
It's super sunny here in South Carolina. I'm like, please just get it.
Yeah, I don't know the weather because I don't have the weather app on my phone. Yeah.
It's like a kidnapper trying to talk to you about the weather while they're talking about like keeping your child ransom. Like
my heart is racing, and your bachelorette party is tomorrow. I just texted you. It's still green. So you're now in ticket land.
As of 15 minutes ago, I got a call from the store saying it went through. Now the phone has now. Thank God it has now released back into the, that's what they say. Now they're transferring the data, and I actually can't even pick it up. So Mike's picking it up tonight. So I'll have it back hopefully tonight. I don't know.
Now that this alleyway Verizon store has all your credit card information, they can give you back your phone.
You don't even know what information I need. My phone password, my zip code, my billing information, my Apple ID password, all this shit so they could try to figure it out. Someone out there has my identity. I'm like, I hope they haven't Venmo'd themselves $5,000 because they easily could. I'm like that. I'm such an idiot. I don't even...
So do you feel better now that like, so Mike's going to pick it up. You feel better now knowing it's coming back to you and it has magically fixed itself?
I like believe it when I see it, but I do feel better. But it's funny. I have like, I'm meeting my sisters. We're doing like a pre-bachelorette like spa thing because they're not going on the bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
Today. Yeah, today. So I'm like, how the fuck do I even get there without a phone? Like I have to, I'm using Google Maps to look up like a subway route, like
print out some MapQuest directions. I oh my God, I knew something was off because I I sent you a link yesterday to make fun of someone. And I was like, that's strange. Nothing came back. And then I saw the text was green. And I was like, uh-oh. So, and I was like, that bike, maybe she rode off into the sunset and it's over.
Yeah.
Wow. Basically,
I mean, it's the next worst thing. but
I might be worse. You're basically dead to me. I couldn't even talk to you unless it was over the Zoom.
You'll be the first person I text to get you to resend that link tonight. If you want to text me right now, you can text my Apple ID email, which I'll send to you privately if it's worth it. But hopefully I'll have my phone back by tonight. But you know what I was thinking when I lost the phone is like, if I had been like dating a guy when this happened and then the phone went out for 3 days, I think I would have like the craziest anxiety about like, if you ever done that where you're like, I got the phone back. I don't know if they texted me in that like 2 hour interim where I didn't have the phone. Should I text them just to make sure that they didn't text me?
And you have to be like, hey, phone's been on the fritz. Just want to let you know. If you texted me, I've been here, you know, this has happened. Yeah. And they're like, who's this? You know, like their response.
Right. Or like, oh, I totally haven't texted you in the past 3 days. Yeah. So, don't worry about it.
No, just they write back. No, we good. I also the fear of like, you know, if you're in a relationship, you're dating, you're just like, I'm out of the world. I'm out of this game.
Totally.
I'm not in. You know, the phone is so, I mean, this podcast exists because of the phone. Like modern dating, you know, technology and modern dating. When we say technology, that is the phone. Like it is just everything revolves around it. Like I use my phone so fucking much that I have to take breaks from it. So I know.
Totally. My screen time app probably thinks I'm dead. Because it went from like 10 hours and 30 minutes a day to like nothing. So
Jordana, where are you?
Should I call for help? There should be a screen. There should be like a number. If the screen time goes below a certain amount, it just calls the cops.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you must be. It's like when the Lyft app asks you, are you like when you're in a tunnel in the Lyft app, they're like, you seem to have gone off the map. Are you okay? Like that's the same type of thing.
Were you kidnapped?
Yeah. Wait, so let's keep this on you because I have many more questions. I don't even know where you're going on the bachelorette party.
I'm going to Lake Tahoe. I'm very
excited. That is a right turn for an East Coaster. How did you get to eat Lake Tahoe?
So originally when we were planning in the midst of COVID, we were going to do Montauk because it was like easy, no flight. No one knew what was going on with the world. And then we kind of pivoted as things were looking good and everyone got vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of like, let's actually go on a trip because we haven't even gone on like a girls trip in a while. And then we were going to do Austin.
Well, hold on. Sorry to interrupt, but that actually, you had the best case scenario. Everyone is like past being, like we've been, you know, in this pandemic reality for long enough where people are like, not annoyed at the bachelorette trip that costs a little bit more.
No, they're pumped. Yeah.
You're the first one out of, it's basically like a reset. It's like you're 23 again. You're the first one to get married and everyone's like pumped to go on whatever trip you want to go on.
Yeah, it's actually pretty exciting. I mean, besides the pregnant people who are not coming, but everyone else is very excited for the trip.
You know what that's like to be pregnant. You've lost your phone. You know the responsibility.
Exactly. I know what it's like to be, you know, to have that anxiety over something I care about.
Yes.
So we were going to do Austin, but we'd already all been there. It was seemed a little basic for us. So we decided to do. Yeah, we've done it. So we decided to do Tahoe, which is like a little different.
You fly to Reno?
Reno. Yeah.
I've done that flight. You go to Reno and then you drive to Tahoe. That's great. I'm excited for you. Do we have anything planned? Like who's the person in charge of it? Do you have one person in charge? Is it a team of people? I have a lot of bachelorette party opinions. Right. Because I do believe one person should be in charge and they should be a benevolent dictator. You have to give tentpole events. So, but this might be just for guys. I think women are more organized as a group anyways. But you need a leader.
Totally. Yeah. I have a group of like three people who are planning with one person who's like taking the most charge, I would say.
Good.
There's like one super planner and then like her assistants.
I know this is the perfect. Yeah, I like this. This is all good stuff for a bachelorette party because Anytime I've shown up to a bachelor party where where the first thing someone says, "So what's next?" I'm like, "Oh, we're fucked. It's over. You need someone in charge.
Oh yeah.
You need a dinner planned or a lunch or a brunch planned. You need to give people the space to kind of disperse.
A little bit of downtime. Not too much.
You need that one event that's a little weird and off kilter that everyone's like kind of excited for, but not sure how it's gonna go. You can't, and especially a bachelor party, you can't let that group of golf guys take over. There's always the golf
guys. Who are
guys.
The golf guys?
I have a theory that when you're married and you have kids, men need to go golfing so that they can explain to people that they had a good time. Like, golfing is a six. So if you went golfing, you didn't waste your time taking a trip.
Okay.
So, but my belief is golfing just keeps you at a six as a good time. There's a golf group that will hate on your ideas and your inventive solutions. Like, hey, let's go drive tractors for the day. And the golf guy will be like, well, what's tractor driving? I don't know about that. And you'd be like, don't worry. They'll be like, how about we play golf? Because they need to be able to come home and say, well, we golfed, because at least that happened for them.
Right.
Because they're you have to keep the golf guys at bay and get everyone else excited about the quote unquote tractor pull event keep it fun. You can't, golf guys will ruin a bachelor party. I don't know what the female equivalent of that is.
I personally love a boat day.
Agree.
That was my must have. So we're doing that. And everything else is like
fantastic.
Great. Whatever.
Boat day, great, great event, great fun, great different thing. One time I went to Austin, we went to Lake Travis, and we did a boat day, but the boat guy, I think it cost him, he was trying to keep costs low. He just wouldn't leave the deck. And he's like,
so you were docked? It was basically
docked. The whole day, and he kept going. I remember we'd be like, hey man, are we gonna go like on the water? Like, and
he's like, gas is really expensive. I don't know about that.
He literally said, he goes, oh, you guys want to go on the water? And we're like, yeah, dude, what are you talking about? And he's like,
you thought of this
scam.
As just a floating bar.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I thought you guys were happy here. No, I'd be happy to be out there where it's not, you know, where it's fun.
We'll have to look out for that.
Yeah, keep on the lookout.
But I'm sure you'll see all the content from seven different angles.
I am so excited. I am not, thank God my phone's okay. I'm going to watch every second of this bachelorette party. I hope you get your phone back so we can see it. What else is going on at Betches before we get into today's episode?
I think you guys have heard it all before. Pop Alarm. Obviously, if you haven't tried Are You Up With Benefits, please check it out. It's a 7-day free trial. As you know, we got a lot of questions about this. The regular content that you're hearing right now and that you see on Sundays and Wednesdays, still there, still free on the day it comes out. If you want it early and you want our two bonus episodes, that's where it's $2.99.
There's been some confusion, and I understand that because this is new. And all you got to do, if you subscribe, you get the extra, you get all the bonus stuff. If you don't, you get all the stuff you've been getting forever. That's the plain and simple of it. But 7-day free trial, so you can see what these bonus episodes sound like.
Yeah, check it out. If you don't like it, cancel the trial. Jared, what do you have going on? Are you doing any more? Are you doing some tours?
I'm doing shows like crazy. I keep getting these like random shows pop up out of nowhere. So by the time this airs, I will have just been in Nashville. Thank you. Talk about bachelorette parties. I'll be at the hub of bachelorette parties in this country. But I got more shows. Bridgeport, Connecticut, Atlantic City, Richmond, Virginia, Mohegan Sun, Magoobies, Jordana's favorite, Baltimore, Maryland,
Chicago.
Every time
you say Magoobies, I just have to say
you have to say
after
it.
You, yeah.
D.C., Austin, Boston, Dallas. I always have more coming, but that's what's on my website now, jaredfree.com. Also, if you're watching The Bachelorette with me, I want to say thank you. It's the season's in full swing. If you do watch my stories for The Bachelorette, share them. I'm asking you, please let people know this has become a full-time job, and I enjoy watching it. But I do look at how many people share each story, and I'm like, everyone's like, I watch every single one. Yeah, share with someone. Just let someone
share it. It's so funny. Imagine like creating something, and then someone else's full-time job is to make fun of it.
That's my my job is to look at someone else's
is to take someone else's job and then just rip it apart.
I mean, what if someone started a live scream of the Scream? They're just really making fun of me.
It'd be flattering, I think.
It'd be flattering, right? I'm sure. After the 20 minutes of me being horrified by it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's JUVEDERM.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
All right, so what are we talking about today, Jordana?
We're talking about if a fuckboy can change their ways, and could they come back
can
and not try
boy? It sounds like a poem. Can a fuckboy stop being a fuckboy in a world full
to
of fuckboys?
Be or not to be?
Yeah.
That is the question.
That's right.
And I think the email has a lot to unpack, so maybe we should just get right
Let's
into
do it.
All right, I'll read it. Hi, J&J. Love the podcast. I have been listening to it for years, and I have put all my friends onto it as well. I'm in an odd scenario now that I could use some help figuring out. Let's take it back to 2018. I met this guy. I'm imagining in her life as the rom-com, it says like 2018 on the screen. I meet this guy. We have a super casual, inconsistent hookup situation. And the last time I saw him was in 2019. There was no falling out per se, but I wanted a relationship, not necessarily with him, but generally. He didn't want that. So we cooled things off. We still chat every so often, but it's usually very sexual. But again, still haven't seen him since 2019. Fast forward to this week, and he's persistent about meeting up again. And I figured, why not? We talked a big talk while texting, and it was pretty sexual. But then I met up with him, and he took me to dinner. We had a really good conversation at dinner and laughed a lot. And overall, it was a nice time. After, he expected to just drop me off at the subway and then be on his way, but instead I wanted to spend more time with him, so we walked around and ended up back at his place. While at his place, he didn't even attempt to kiss me. He just stroked my hair as we talked more and got into some deep personal conversations about his family. At first, I thought he was talking about it to tug at my heartstrings and to get me to sleep with him, but he still hasn't kissed me. At the end of the night, he told me he genuinely liked talking to me and we hugged goodbye. What gives? Did I go into the situation with the wrong impression? Given our past, I expected this to just be drinks and a hookup. What do you think was going through his mind? Is he just playing a game? I was pleasantly surprised with our conversation. We've both grown up a lot since the last time we saw each other, but I'm confused about the sudden pullback. Thanks for all the great advice. Sincerely, horny and confused.
Love this email.
What a sign off.
OHC. Jordana, what do you have any thoughts? From this email.
My initial thought was like, maybe he went into it with the intention of hooking up, and then the conversation got a little bit more like intimate and intense and not just sexual. And then he felt that sleeping with her would like up the stakes of how much he would like owe her, or how much, or how like deep into it they would be. So he pulled back. What do you think?
Yeah.
That was my initial thought process.
I'm on a similar wavelength. I think like the way she's thinking about it, I think we have to stop this thinking of like any, like that men are, I don't know how to say, I like
not well, wild animals.
Yeah, like this guy, like it's not a choice between fuck you, never speak to you again, and be with you. Do you know what I mean? Like this kind of comes from a perspective of like, I expected us to just fuck and never speak again and like do what we did before. And it's like, I think if you're trying to understand like a guy's brain, like he wants the companionship. He does feel good having this conversation with you. You and him felt good. But I think I think a lot of times men are just very much like, what gets this phone? Just go back to the phone conversation. What gets this phone charged right now? They're not thinking about how, you know, do I need it charged for tomorrow or a year down the line? Like, I think this is very like, and then what you're saying is right. Like, then it gets to the point of like, do we fuck? And it's like, oh, we've done this a few times before. Am I going to deal with like the will they, won't they again when I've already said I won't? Do you know what I mean?
Right. So then you're saying because do you think he went into this date thinking they would hook up and then changed his mind in the middle of the date?
I think they went on the date.
Because it sounds like they were texting sexually before it, right?
I think if you got deep, like my initial thought, and this is like an ego filled thought, is that he basically went on, just like you're saying, like, he goes on this date, they're having fun, it gets pretty deep, and he's like, oh my God, if we fuck right now, I am in
We're
this
dating.
Again. And because there's a history. Like, you know, a lot of guys will learn the third time around. Like you talk about like 2018.
Or never,
Or never. But like the 2018, then 2019, haven't seen it since 2019. Then you talk about a game, now you guys are having a great time together, and he's going, oh, there's no, like, let's say they do fuck, and then she goes, "Hey, I'm, it's gonna be the same conversation that comes up again." Right. Yeah, like you wanted a relationship before. She says, "Was no falling out per se, but I wanted a relationship." So now, the first time it ends up, and then he gets to this point where he's like, "Oh my!" He gets to the edge of the cliff, and he's about to jump off, and he's like, "She wanted a relationship before. That's not gonna change again. Like, don't get fooled." Do you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I feel like usually that happens with guys after they sleep with you. So this does seem like he's evolving a bit.
He's evolving. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like usually that realization comes like, oh, like we had this great night. We slept together. And then the next morning he's like, oh yeah, I don't want to date her. I remember that I don't want this thing. And it seems like he's realized it before.
I've been in this situation where you're just like, I enjoy this person's company. But I don't want to do the same thing to them that I've done in the past. Like you, like a lot of times men are put in this position, and I'm speaking very broadly of like always being the one to turn someone down because of the, it's the reason like this podcast exists. Like she writes in like, what is he thinking? So automatically it's a position where he's the one that has to say yes or no. It's not her saying, I like him. We had a great time. It felt good when he stroked my hair. I wish we had fucked and just seen where this had gone. She's saying, why didn't he, you know, get more physical with me? Does that mean he likes me more? Does that mean he doesn't like me more? And it's like, that's all, again, only his decision and not hers. Mm-hmm. Where she's a more, there's two to this party, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I get it. I get her where she's coming from. I've definitely like approached things that way, where you're kind of like, I mean, it's tough to try to interpret someone else's behavior, and I get that that's like, well, I like him if he likes me, but it's like, she clearly likes him already, right? She clearly like kind of wanted to date him, even though she didn't really say that she wanted a relationship and he didn't,
but right, yeah, you're right.
So she's like, I like him, I know, and I liked him. is this a sign that he does want a, more of a relationship with me? Or is this a sign that he was less into me than he was? Like, she's just trying to interpret. And I do think that, like, it's like, you can have your own standards while still trying to interpret someone else's, like, seemingly inconsistent behavior.
Yeah.
To an extent.
Yeah. No, I listen, she's not wrong for being like, what the fuck now? Like, I this happens with, like, you know, we had a third date and he didn't sleep with me then. Like, what does that mean? I think this is like, it's more likely. Like, I think when a lot of times when women don't sleep with you, it's because they like you. And a lot of times when men don't sleep with you, it's because they think you like them.
So, it's not because they want to take it slow.
Well, because to me, if I was in his position, I would be like, okay, we are in a relationship or we are not if we fuck.
Okay.
Like, if I was in his position, like, if we have sex, there's no chance for me to go, let's hang out again. And there's no casual to this. There's
there's
vetting period.
Still having time to make a decision if you actually want something more serious.
Yeah, because look how well we connected. We've always connected in the past. We have this great textual relationship. Why wouldn't we? And he doesn't have a good answer for that. His answer for that is, I don't know. I haven't thought about it that deeply. You know, like, his answer isn't good. So he knows, I can't give the answer, so why would I, you know, take the test?
So if you were her, what would you do?
She has to admit how she feels. Like, I think, like, you know,
to him or just to herself?
Yeah, I think to herself a little bit, but also to, hey, take a look in the mirror. No, I think she has to explain how she feels to him and be willing to lose this text thing. Like, I think, like, she says they, from 2019 to 2021, so 2 years, they went through a pandemic writing love letters to each other, basically, or sexual letters to each other, right. She basically says.
Yeah.
So it's like, that is a false sense of knowing someone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because he can do that for the next 20 years. He can write you the sexual text, and because it never gets him. Like, look at how sexual he was over text and then not sexual he was in person. Right. Like, isn't that interesting that he was like, because the sexual over text has no, he never has to be responsible for it. The sexual in person, he has to be responsible for. And that's the moment he bails. So this woman has to be okay losing him, one.
Right.
And then okay, like, letting him know, like, hey, that was a night that I would want to have with a boyfriend. Like, you and I seem to connect. I'm okay with this not going forward, but I can't be hung up on this forever.
Right.
You know, I emotionally have to move on.
Always been. Yeah. And I think when you say that, that also, like, breaks the illusion of, like, no one said anything and it could be anything. Like, once one person says what they actually want, then the other person is forced to make that decision or call, or, like, then it's really in their hands. So, like, the most you can do, and in my situation, when I had a similar thing to what she's talking about, when I finally did that was when I was able to move on, because you're just laying your cards on the table.
Well, it's the same thing. You're totally right. And it's the same thing as, like, you know, those cooking clocks that, like, your mom used to use? Like, my mom used to use that, like,
timer,
timer, where you'd like spin it and
wind it up.
You'd wind it up and it would be like up to 60 minutes. You're doing that when you reveal your feelings. You're turning on that timer because he has to do something. You know, and him doing nothing is just very loud, him doing nothing. Right now, him doing nothing is very quiet. Like, his version of doing nothing now is like, you know, sending you a sexual text and then, like, disappearing until he's drunk again. Like, that's not very loud. You saying, hey, that night was fun. I'd like to do more of those nights with you and see where this could go. And that's really all you want to do. You're the most honest person
really
in
know
the room.
Him yet. Right.
You don't know him yet. Yeah. And that's the most honest thing you could ever say to someone. Hey, I had fun. I'd like to keep having fun with you. You can make that happen or you don't. That's you winding the clock up. And if he doesn't try to make that happen within a week or two, your answer has been given.
Right. Your answer is you've upped the stakes and he's not willing to meet them.
No, at all. And it's but I do everything that she writes in this email, I totally understand. Like, the idea of, like, going to a woman's place, like, you have a history with her, you have this sexual chemistry. Like, it is easy and comfortable. And it's like, but you know that there's consequences that have been, you know, voiced before. And you're like, do I want to go back through turning someone down again that I like and I enjoy? And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, it's almost easier to be like, I can go masturbate to this at home.
Right. But if you want to do that, my issue with the guy is like, if you want to do that, don't fucking text this person. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, if you want to, like, if he's like, oh, it's easier to just go home and masturbate and not deal with any of this, like, stop reengaging with the person that you kind of like dumped in the first place.
Well, in his defense, he's not getting a text from her late at night that's kind of fun and flirty and then being like, don't answer it. Just go in the bathroom and get it out of you. Get the sickness out of you. You know, like, I understand.
He's proactively setting this up.
I think he's
asking her to hang out and he's texting her.
But I do think when he does that, he does believe, like, let's have fun. It's post-pandemic. Like, I think also that's, you know, just like when let's have fun. Women don't want to have fun.
I hate let's have fun. We had fun. Why did you text? We had fun. Let's have fun.
Well, I think like, there's
fun.
Right.
My eggs are dying. Fun?
None of this is fun to me. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's also like I think IRL summer is here, as we've talked about here, in real life summer. I think we're getting a lot of what happened as we went into the pandemic is happening as we come out of the pandemic. So like when we went in, everyone went to the Rolodex of people that they could kind of call on to come over, and that they, because the options
it
went
was safer.
Down. Yeah, it was safer. Now that we're coming out, people are just like, I need to be touched, and let me start cashing in these checks that I've written during these last couple of years, you know? And I think that's kind of a version of what this guy's doing here. He's like, it's been a couple of years. And listen, here's the other thing he could be doing. It's been a couple of years. I've changed. She's changed.
That's true. Yeah.
You know,
that's always the hope.
I think a lot of guys are hopeful that they have matured. Like, I've been in that position where you like call back on someone, you're like, maybe this was the one. You know, like, I think we strip away from men this idea that they could have this romanticism and get carried away too. We get carried away too.
I get that you get carried away too, but it's often at the expense of someone who you know is already carried away. Like you're like experimental, like, yeah, I could see that happening maybe. Like, let me sleep with her and then I'll find out. Whereas she's like going into it like already hyped up and like thinking that it's going to be something. And then like it's tough, I think, in these situations. And I've been in her situation before where it feels like the guy's testing you out. Like he's like, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, and you don't realize that you're like an experiment for them. Like, maybe I have changed. Maybe I am ready for a relationship. And then they date you and then sleep with you again. And they're like, actually, no, I'm not. And you're left like, you know what I mean? Like your wound is reopened.
I would say both sides need to come to the middle a little bit on that. Okay. You know, like, I think like
well, you have to
I
go
think a
in
lot of,
wary. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of women could be helped by going in saying, maybe I am cool with this one, instead of this is the one, he came back to me. You know, like I think like the idea of like going out with I think everyone is an experiment. If you think of it like, you know, like every dating scenario, but I understand what you're saying.
The stakes are a little bit higher sometimes with like, if you know that something ending again is going to be hurtful for someone.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go back unless you had.
But this is why he didn't have sex.
Right. Well, I think that's a good thing. I think that's why I'm like, this does show some sort of a level of growth. And I mean, I've talked about this before where I've had a number of the situations and you go back and you ask the guy like, so why'd you text me? And her usual answer is something along the lines of like, we had fun.
Yeah. Well,
you're
that's
like,
why you
yeah,
should
I know
never.
We had right. You're like, I know we had fun and I'm looking for like someone to have fun with like, all the time that's committed to me.
I think that's why we have to stop asking people questions and start telling people how we feel. Like, that's not the most genius thing to say, but I'm just saying like, you know, why did you keep texting me? Why'd you text me? The guy's going to say the nicest thing that gets him out of this situation. If you say, hey, I had a good time. It felt like you backed off because you felt like there was you. It felt like you backed off because I thought we were going to get physical considering our text before. I'm a little confused, but I did have a great time and I'd like to see what this could be. That's a different thing that he can't go, well, we have fun. You know, like right. that answer doesn't work there. The only answer that works there is I enjoy your company too and I do want to see where this goes too. Or it's an opening to say, you know, the reason I didn't fuck is because I know I want to fuck you, but I don't want to be with you. And that's a harder thing to say, but you have to right. open people up to say that.
No one says that. What he no would say is like, but I'm really just not looking for anything serious. And I didn't want to feel like it was going there. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a genuine answer, though, as genuine right. as it could be.
Yeah. It would be like, it would be even more refreshing if someone said, I'd like to have sex, but I would not like to, you know, like date you.
I mean, that should be said before every date that you go out with someone you have a past with.
Right.
Like if you go out with someone you have a past with, hey, I would love to go out and have drinks with you because I do think it would be fun. But I understand that's not the type of fun everyone's looking for. I don't see this going in the future, but I am looking for that type of interaction tonight. Like, would that be okay?
It would be better.
I mean, it's better than having sex and then hearing that, no?
Yeah. I mean, they're all different levels of it. But I do think that, like, this shows a little bit of growth on his side. And the only thing she can really do is just put her cards on the table.
See, this podcast has done good. We have taught the men of America.
You're right. Stop sleeping with people if you're not sure what you want.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night, go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code UUP10.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
UUP at Betches.com, UUP at Betches.com. Let's do some awkward sex. You ready, Jordana?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Hey, J&J, love the pod. Every Wednesday and Sunday, I look forward to the wisdom and laughs y'all provide. Jared, saw you in Raleigh a while back with some friends and can't wait to catch you again sometime soon. Come to Charlotte. Thank you so much. Raleigh, great town. Charlotte, fun town. Listen, there's many places I like in this great country of ours. This story is a favorite.
You've seen it all.
I've seen it. I've seen more of the country than most is what I'm starting to realize. Like, when I told people I was going to Oklahoma City, they were like, who?
You're like Jack Kerouac.
That's me. Jared Kerouac.
On the road.
The story is a favorite among friends. Hopefully you guys and the listeners get some laugh at my expense. This story is about my now fiance. Okay, we have a happy ending.
Happy ending, Belle.
Ding, ding, ding. At the time, we had been dating for about 6 months. One night after a date, things were getting hot and heavy, and we started having sex. To spare you the details, I'll just say he was going in from behind. Unbeknownst to me, he, quote unquote, missed during an intense thrust, and his penis crashed into my ass. Plenty of cushioning there. I didn't feel a thing. Not the case for him. Jared, I feel like this confirms a lot of your theories about men. Doesn't matter the pain or the circumstances, they will get it done. That is a theory.
That is a theory of yours, yes.
It is true. After we finished, he mentioned his penis was a little sore, but didn't make anything seem like a big deal. I will mention and own that I am ultra sensitive, and at 6 months in, he certainly knew that. The next day, his penis... She's ultra sensitive, like, emotionally? Is that...
I don't know. Her butt is sensitive? I don't...
Well, she said she didn't feel it in her butt when the penis crashed into it. And now she's saying the penis was a little sore, but didn't make anything seem like a big deal. Oh, I would think she says she's a little sensitive as far as, like, didn't want to, like... He didn't make a big deal out of his penis to make her feel
bad. I see. Oh, that's nice. Okay.
That's nice. The next day, his penis...
You broke my penis.
What the fuck, you bitch? How could you do this to my dick?
That would make her feel bad, I'm sure.
Yeah. The next day, his penis was severely bruised and looked like it had gone through some sort of trauma. I couldn't believe my eyes when he sent me the photo. What a different dick pic.
I can't believe he sent her the photo.
You got to check this out. What had I done? Picture the eggplant emoji, but way less adorable and more gruesome. But pretty much that purple. The discoloration and swelling only got worse as the morning went on. He was texting me from work. Babe, it's getting worse. It keeps getting fatter. This might be a good thing. I should mention, work for him is a small family business he runs with both his mom and dad, she writes in all caps. He snuck out at lunch to go to urgent care and get it checked out without announcing to his bosses, a.k.a. his parents, a.k.a. my future in-laws, that he feared a broken dick. When urgent care had him rush to the emergency room to see a specialist and discuss the possibility of an emergency surgery, cat had to come out of the bag. To this day, I don't... Mom...
check out, I know, you know, you're, since I'm on your insurance, you might see a bill for my broken penis.
It's a sprained dick. Dad, I'm gonna be home late tonight. To this day, I don't know exactly how he described his condition to them or how it was caused. Ignorance is as close to bliss as I'll get in this scenario. Texting with his mom updates while he was in the hospital for his penis is not one of my fondest memories. Thankfully, it was just an awful sprain. You can sprain a dick?
I didn't know that.
And it didn't have to go under the knife. Oh, my God. I'm horrified. Not so thankfully, I was mortified for quite some time facing his parents, knowing that they knew what happened. When I told my friends about the story, they were impressed and wanted to know how I almost broke his dick. Much to their disappointment, it wasn't a fancy move on my end, just some bad aim on his. Can't wait to hear what you guys could call this one. This is... What do you think, Jordan? I love the fact, like, she's got some bragging points about her ass. She could be like, this is the ass that could take down a cock.
I was thinking that. It's
right?
Like that hard that it like would actually, I mean,
she
I think of it
start
as like
a fitness empire.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like that's a sellable anecdote.
This ass breaks dicks.
Right?
Right?
I totally agree. It's very impressive for her. Mm-hmm. I think it's a funny story, the parents thing. I bet you he's either on his parents' insurance or his employer's insurance, which is like pretty funny.
Same thing.
For that. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Has anything like this ever happened to your penis?
You definitely have the thing where your penis falls out and goes in a direction that's like not one you would want it to go in. And you have a minute where you go, like, you're like, oh, my God. Like, I'm sure this has happened.
It's like when you're driving a car and you accidentally, like, you swerve to, like, get back on in the lane. Okay.
Or like, you, like, you know, or you come off the sidewalk and your foot turns a little bit, but you don't sprain an ankle. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and you're like, that could have been bad. That could have been bad. Like, you never think, like, a penis will sprain. You, like, the penis is the one thing that you don't, like, think of in terms of like having a cast on it, you know, using a crutch for it. Like I totally. Never would think that way. Have you ever had this where the guy like falls out and you can see him, his life flash before his eyes? Because that's kind of what happens to me.
I'm sure it's happened that I have, but I haven't noticed. But I can only imagine.
And they say like, men aren't watching, are the ones who don't care about their partners.
Don't have attention to detail. Yeah. Definitely haven't noticed that.
It's interesting that she's so worried about like the parents. Like it is like, I don't think like, I would love to see those texts. Like if she had those screenshots of like, so how's he doing?
Right. Or like how he told them this. Like that would be a very interesting story.
Right.
Yeah.
What would you call this, Jordana?
I really liked Maddie's suggestion of Meet the Penis.
Meet the Penis is great. That's so funny.
I enjoy that one a lot. What do you think?
I called it the old banana because I just kept imagining it looked like getting, a bruised banana.
Right, getting like less and less or more and more ripe.
Yeah, that's right. Like
that's really funny.
The bruised spots on it. Like I didn't imagine it as like a totally purple, you know, eggplant emoji. It more showed to me bruised banana. That was my
thought. That would be, I feel like, more traumatizing to see it that way.
Oh, absolutely. Like I've never had that. Like I would like to see how big the penis gets from it. Like,
yeah.
Like what is what? Where would from I? Being, where could I go from here with a broken?
Think it gets
dick?
Bigger.
Like, she says it does, right? Pretty much.
I thought it was more like
the
wider.
Swelling. I just want to see what a swelling penis, like what my swelling penis would look like.
So, dear listener, if you have the picture, please DM it to Jared so he can.
This is my call for dick pics. I'm looking for more dick pics in my life.
We will not be posting it on the U Up Instagram because I don't think we want to get kicked off. But no.
Is it a red flag or deal breaker? You're having a one night stand with a guy and it falls out and he freaks out. He's like, my dick is broken, and he has to run to the hospital.
I would take him to the hospital. I'm not an animal. I think it would be fine as long as he wasn't like mad at me. Like your butt wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah, if he did the freak out, you bitch.
Yeah. If he was like a little embarrassed, I'd be cool with it. I think there's great times, especially in early dating. It's okay to like fumble or do something weird or something weird happened. You just have to be a little embarrassed about it. I think the only red flag is if the person's like
this is one of those male things that you can really do the wrong way. Like I only a man could go wrong in that direction where he's like, how could you, you know, like, you know, like right. I don't think a woman would ever do that.
I agree. I would also want him to like ask me if I wanted to see the penis bruised before he sent it. You're like having breakfast and you're like, I would want to be asked.
Yeah. Hey, just a trigger warning. I'm going to send you a bruised dick. I hope you can take a look. This got me thinking, Jordana.
Okay.
Have you seen the curved penis before in your travels?
I've heard of it. I haven't looked.
Yeah. I never knew that was a thing.
It's a real thing?
Supposedly. You can.
Like a crooked penis?
There's such a thing. They, you know, I think I'm blessed with
I just heard about it.
I've heard about it. Not me. Who? Me? No. No, but the curved, I've heard that like as far as like jarring moments where you like, wow, where did this come from?
Right. I mean, I can imagine being I would be taken aback by an uncircumcised penis. And that's just my humbling Long Island Jewish girl.
Sure.
Naivete.
Yeah. Let's do another email. You ready, Jordana?
Yeah, let's read it. All right.
UUP@betches.com. And remember, people, if you're listening right now, make it your Instagram story. Share. Let people know. This is the time of year You Up Podcast comes in handy. And it's IRL summer. It's happening. We have people are out in the streets. People are saying hi in person. I go to this coffee shop near my apartment. People are, hey, I see you here all the time. Like, I get that kind of thing. It's like things are happening.
I was in Cold Spring Harbor the other day and someone recognized me from the show. And I was like, wow, we've made it out deep into Long Island. It
Love
felt great.
This is great.
Okay. Hey, J&J, love the pod. Your advice has honestly changed my life and the way I look at relationships. I have a question about rejecting people you don't know. I was on a run this past week and this random guy popped out at me from a side street and waved at me to take my headphones off.
I'm just imagining her on a run. And he's like, hey, she's like, hey.
Guys are like scary. Yeah.
That is frightening. That's your biggest predator.
Fear,
right there.
Yeah. He told me he saw me run by earlier and hoped that I would come run back earlier. His way again so he could ask me out and then asked if I lived in the area. I was pretty freaked out because I was running by myself. It was starting to get dark outside and I just moved here for the summer and he looked significantly older than me. Mm. I panicked and told him I wasn't. I was just visiting a friend and he proceeded to ask where I lived. I gave him the state I grew up in and he asked the city. I told him and he said he goes there a lot for work and still wanted my number. At this point, I felt super uncomfortable, so I just told him I had a boyfriend, but was flattered so I could get away, and I continued on with my run. About 5 minutes later, this car full of guys slows down by me and screams bullshit out the window at me, scaring the shit out of me again as if I wasn't freaked out enough already. They drove away too quick for me to see, but I assume it was him and his friends calling me out for lying. I feel bad I lied, but I was honestly terrified and the whole situation just made me really uncomfortable. It didn't help that he told me he'd been watching me on my run, that he would not just take my excuses as a no, and that he got so pissed off I didn't want to go out with him that he got all his friends to scream at me. Not to mention, he also interrupted my workout, which I was pretty annoyed by too. Anyway, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the situation and how you think I should have responded to shut it down rather than lying. Thanks so much, the faulty fibber.
I think she did this is horrifying. This is.
Yeah, I think she did the right thing completely in.
Do whatever you got to do to get away from this guy as fast as fucking possible. Like, I think that's totally what she did. She took the most immediate exit out of the building of this dude. And that was the right decision. Like,
yeah,
I think the idea that you had to be kinder to her. Fuck him.
Totally.
Or kinder to him, I mean.
The I have a boyfriend thing to me is like the safest non-personal way to get out of those situations when you're in them and someone's making you feel like uncomfortable and weird.
Yeah, I mean, I laughed in the beginning because of him jumping out of nowhere. Like, when I heard this, I was like, oh, maybe it's just a, you know, so I thought of like a Poindexter nerd, you know, jumping out of, like the first, my mind. And, right. Here's the thing, like my mind first goes to nerdy guy on running trail popping out, hey, with like a flower
shooting
that's like
a shot, right?
Yeah, shooting his shot. So again, that's my privilege as a dude who doesn't think about these things. Like, I'm sure someone heard guy jumped out at you while you're running and saw you 5 minutes before, and they're going straight to dire circumstances, which is my privilege that I don't think about that, but you have to. And I would say to her, like, you got to stop going on this running route. You got to start running with friends. I don't know. You got to protect yourself because this is scary to me.
Yeah, I think she did everything right. I mean,
yeah.
It does suck to still like be in a world where you actually have to fear for like that sort of situation that you would have to figure out a way how to like make someone's ego feel not too deflated so that you didn't have to worry for like your own personal safety.
I mean, my God, the fact that he has a band of brothers to like yell at you with, like out of a van, like what's going on here? Like, what apocalyptic reality is going on in this city? You know, but that is a reality. It's not.
Yeah,
it's not far from the truth in many situations. But the boyfriend thing, that is the move.
Totally. I think there are also so many women who like, I've had a situation like this. I think almost anyone you know has had a situation where they feel uncomfortable in that kind of thing. And I would say she did the exact right thing. The only other thing I would add is I would call a friend and just be on the phone with them for your entire walk back. That usually like makes me feel a bit safer. What? Not to say you're like a guy like this, but like what is going through a guy like that's mind? And is it like an ego thing? Like I need to just protect my ego by like making this person feel shitty?
Well, so again, this is like a slippery slope because it starts at like, let's say this is all that I don't know what's going through this guy's head if he's like gonna like wait at this path again for her. You know what I mean?
Right.
If it ends at this, which we should be, you know, we all hope this is the last interaction this person has with this person. Mm-hmm. It is ego. It's him trying to hurt her emotionally the way he felt hurt. Wouldn't you think?
Right. By being rejected. To me, that seems like.
I've been rejected, so I need you to feel the emotional pain that I just felt. That's what I think most small people are doing. But, you know, the idea of like, you know, he's much older. Like all of this paints a picture of like a dangerous person. Like
totally.
It doesn't paint a picture of like a friend of mine or some, you know what I mean?
Anyone like, you would actually know or like,
hang I would with. Hope not, you know? Right. So, but the idea that like, you know, when people, I mean, if we want to make this a less, you know, scary situation, when you say to a guy like, hey, I had a great time tonight, but I don't want to go on a date with you again. I don't feel a romantic connection. They write back, well, fuck you. I didn't like you anyways. It's like, yeah,
it's a smaller version of that.
That's a smaller version of this situation where you go, okay, that's a guy who's not confident, that wanted other things than to get to know you on that date. And you dodged a bullet, right?
Totally. Yeah. I think in any form of that, any form of like getting mad at the idea of a rejection, and really on either part, but like, especially for men, I think because there is that like danger that you inherently have to deal with as a woman, is definitely like the biggest red flag to get far away.
How about a guy who can't understand that? Like, this is a fear of women. You know what I mean? Like I always talk about how, like, it's not the first thing guys think of, and that's the privilege. And I've mentioned that on this podcast before. Like I went for a run on did I tell you this? I told this story where I went for a run on the Williamsburg Bridge and there was like a woman.
Thought you were like following her?
Well, I was thinking like there was a woman like 100 yards in front of me and like my goal was to like go fast enough to beat her down the Williamsburg Bridge. And I remember her like feeling me on her back, but I was really just trying to pass her like we were racing. And in my mind, it's a fun, you know, I'm trying to pass her.
Right. In her mind, but it's like, this is terrifying. Yeah.
I've never thought of that before. Potentially terrifying. But that's the thing. Like, and then, but if someone said to me, like, if she said to me, like, what the fuck are you doing? I go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, I think everyone's okay to like make a mistake with their intent. And then when you realize like someone else's feelings, it's like everyone deserves their feelings. So like if a guy can't see that like he is acting in a way to make you feel not safe, then he doesn't want to see that. Like he's actively not trying. And it's like that is someone to stay away from even more so. Like compromise could you ever come to?
Totally. And that's not just not someone that I think that's someone whose emotions are obviously, or their ego is bigger than their sense of rationality and like self-awareness. So that in itself is an issue.
I mean, you see a lot of that just in general today with a lot of like the subjects that are very difficult to talk about when it gets politicized. It's like people put their egos ahead of like rational, like thought and context nuance, you know?
Completely. But stay safe, reader. And I think my only extra piece of advice that I personally felt safer doing was just calling someone for the rest of my
that's a move home. And I think you got to stop with this route. I think like I would stay, and this time, this route, they've obviously plotted to see, you know, in some way to see you. So, and he might be just saying that to everyone who pops by, like, you don't know.
That's also
if he has
true.
A van of people. Like he could just be saying that to, like, I would, you know, warn the authorities that this area has a man out there. Like I would warn, you know,
yeah,
give I don't a even description. Know
if, that's what I'm saying. Are like, even, is that even like a, can you do that on like with like the cops? I don't even know. I guess I you mean, could.
Even if
they don't really do anything, you're still like logging it.
Yeah. Just do something like, hey, I want to give a description of a guy who's intimidating women, like, and has a group of people that are doing that with them. Like, why not? You know, like, let's try and do whatever
we can. I agree.
There's nothing
too small that would help, like, with your safety and potentially someone else's safety that this person is, like, now, like, on someone's radar.
Okay, Jordana, let's play some games. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it. Okay, first one. Hey, J&J, had this happen to me this weekend, and I'm curious if you think whether it's a red flag or a deal breaker. I had sex with a guy this weekend. He used a condom and still pulled out with a condom. The next day, we were texting a bit, and he sends me this. You can be him, and I'll be her.
Here we go. Smart girl, and same. I could for sure pull off that second round now.
Oh, I believe it, winky face.
Will you let me know when you have your period? I feel like we were pretty safe, but I always feel better with confirmation. Sorry, I know that's probably the weirdest thing a guy has asked you after a hookup, but look at who you're talking to.
And then she writes to us, I didn't think it was possible to have any safer sex than this. He even took it upon himself to take the condom off to finish on my back. So red flag or deal breaker.
A gentleman.
Instead of containing it in this perfectly sealed vessel, I'll just come all over your back. So red flag or deal breaker. Someone asks you to inform them of your period. Sincerely, I didn't know I could get pregnant from getting cum on my back.
Okay. Jordana, what do you think? This is a good question for you.
I mean, to me, this says this guy had a very close encounter in the past with someone that he had a very scary, traumatic, almost pregnancy scare with. And he's hyper, hyper conscious of not going through that again.
Yes.
That's what that would say to me.
Well, I'm one of those of like that gets very nervous about this stuff. But to ask about like, hey, can we get a add me to your calendar anytime?
Sync me with your period calendar invitations. Yeah.
I mean, when was your last one? I'm going to put an alarm on my calendar. Yeah. It's a little much.
I'm kind of like at that point, just like don't.
You shouldn't have sex. Like,
right.
This is the equivalent of like, if you're going to get attached to a guy after a first date and you have sex, then don't have sex. If you can't handle having sex and the stress that comes with, like, and especially, listen, you pulling out with a condom on is not the weirdest thing in the world. Like, that actually, like, fine. I can totally understand that. The idea that you do that, you come on her back, and then you go, and, you know, I'm going to have to know the name of your gynecologist.
Can you send me a picture of the pill pack so I know that you've taken it every day?
Show me you swallowed it. Yeah.
I think I would have to, I don't know if it'd be a deal breaker, but I'd have to be like, hey, like this seems like a lot of precautions. Like, did something happen?
Yeah. Are you okay? Cool? What's going on? And if they can't talk about it, then they're not really mature enough to have sex. Like, I don't think they're ready.
I agree.
Yeah, this would be I mean, from the other side, like if a woman was like, can you just, I don't know what the alternative is. Like, hey, I'm going to like alert you for when I get my period. Just
maybe
in
with
case.
Like, maybe with like an STI or something, if they were like, could you just let me know, like, again, like when the last time that you had sex with someone else was, and then like when the last time you got checked was, and then like when you plan on getting checked next, could you text me the results?
But that, dude, to me is normal. Like, that to me is actually like
it's more normal than this. sort of concept of like, I am hyper conscious of that.
I think
too.
If you're having sex with multiple people, then it's like even, you know, hey, I need to, I don't know. I think the testing stuff would make sense to me. Like, the idea that, like, I think it would be weirder if like a woman was like, so I just had my period. I just want to let you know. I'd be like, were you worried? Like, what?
Right.
Like, well, I wouldn't that would make me more nervous. Like,
it is funny. Like, nervous. I've gone through the experience of being like secretly a little anxious about like whether or not, you know, someone's condom. Like, if I'm like a couple days late on my period and I was like sleeping with someone, I might be very anxious. And then when I got my period, I'd be very excited. And I think I'd be tempted to tell them, even though they had no idea what was going on. And you know what I mean? Like when they had no idea what's going on internally in your head, where you're like, they just avoided a disaster. They didn't even know was like potentially happening. Idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I like this makes sense in a serious relationship. Like if you knew your guy was like anxious about those things, like, hey, just letting you know, like that makes sense. When it's a one night and it doesn't make as much sense.
Yeah, I agree. So I think red flag, depending on their answer, maybe deal breaker.
I think it's deal breaker. Just too much. Unless you could talk it out, I guess.
Yeah.
Hi, J&J. Question about a situation my friend is going through regarding making relationships Facebook official.
What year is this?
Yeah, what is it? A time machine.
2009?
Email. She started going out with this guy. He asked her to be his girlfriend like 2 weeks ago. She thought it was moving fast, but didn't say anything because she wanted to keep seeing him. Then without mentioning it to her or having a discussion about it, he makes it Facebook official. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
They haven't even posted on Instagram or even on story together, so she thought this was a little fast. I didn't even think people still made relationship Facebook official, LOL. Wondering what your thoughts are. Thanks for all the fun. Red flag deal breaker. He makes it Facebook official and offended. So what do we think?
I think if Mike even like right now, like we're not Facebook official.
Uh-oh.
Even at this point, 4 years in, if he asked me to be in a relationship or engaged to him on Facebook, I would be like, that is a red flag. That is very random and weird.
It's the randomness of it, and yeah. It's the out of timeline order of it.
like not knowing what year it is. It's like,
to me, this is someone who's like worried that you're not going to want to be with them,
right? Or they're trying to publicly prove something to someone.
Yeah, this is so
not about you. Yeah,
that it's actually a deal breaker. Like, what the fuck is going on in your life, whether it's mentally or socially, that I am now pulled into this game that you're trying to play? And if you need it for your confidence level in me dating you, then you're not confident enough to date me. Like, I just wouldn't see this going very well.
Yeah, I'd be very turned off by it. I think I would say to them, like, this seems very strange to me. Like, is there a reason that you're trying to... I mean, I guess they could say like, we're both on Facebook and like your relationship status says single. And I was just trying to, you know,
but
maybe
they
did it in 2009, I might like think it was fine.
Yeah, but that's 11 years ago, 12 years ago. I mean, that's the thing that's so strange. Like, to me, this guy has no confidence. And like, this deal breaker. I'm usually not the strong. Yeah, this is deal breaker. Like the fact that she wrote like, she thought it was moving fast, but didn't say anything because she wanted to keep seeing him. It's like, yeah, this is moving. Like, that was before he made it Facebook official.
Making it Facebook official in general, red flag. I think this early and when you haven't really committed to anything, probably deal breaker.
Yeah, I'm deal breaker on that.
But like, if Mike requested to be in a relationship with me on Facebook tomorrow,
you'd allow it.
I don't know if I'd end the whole thing.
Yeah, don't end the engagement. Give it another week.
Right, then I wouldn't be able to say married to
that used to be such a thing.
I know, it was like, I mean, the whole it was like that was how you found out people broke up at a certain point.
Absolutely.
Or they would try to just hide it. They'd just get rid of it as an option.
I remember back then, way back when I would even talk, when someone asked me, I'd be like, you don't have I am single on your page just so you don't have I am in a relationship on a page. You just get ahead of it.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a Facebook relationship?
I don't think so.
I have.
You have?
In college.
See, that's like one of those, isn't it cringy? Don't you think about it? You're like, I did that.
I can't believe I was announcing to the world that I was like,
hello, everybody. I'm a senior in college and I have a boyfriend. Yeah.
Officially. Facebook official. Well, the girls used to joke around on it. Like, me and my friends would be like, we're like, it's complicated between us.
Sure. I remember. Yeah, that was a big one. It's complicated with me and my best friend who were hilarious. Yeah.
Imagine if people actually put it was complicated with. I mean, people like to this day.
I can't believe that was an option.
It'd be like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What a passive aggressive way to like tell your boyfriend that you're not happy in the relationship. It's complicated. I just got a notification that says it's complicated.
I really miss the drama of Facebook official, actually, now that we're talking about it. Bring it back. it gets messy.
And MySpace top 10.
Yeah.
How about the most messy was when Snapchat had your top three and that was public.
Oh, your best friends?
Your best friends.
Oh, my
and
God.
Like all and you had no control over it. You didn't know how the point scale worked. And then all of a sudden you'd have people that were like, oh, my God, another woman has
that
entered the top three. Like, that's messy.
I remember stalking the shit out of a guy I was dating when that was a thing. Just refreshing his best friends to see who was on it, who he was talking to. And you would see some shit you did not like.
Yes. And it's like, and because you didn't know how the points worked. Nobody knew how Snapchat points work. So all of a sudden your top three, you're like, well, someone's there that shouldn't. It's like, wow. Their mistress. Yeah.
I think I like how they slowly phased all of that like official shit off of all.
I wrote an article like I think way back when that was like Snapchat will be the reason we all get divorced. Snapchat top three will be the reason we all get divorced. And then like the next week they got rid of it.
Maybe they heard. They saw
You're welcome. Okay.
To all the men cheating, you're welcome.
That's right. Got you.
Hi, J&J. Recent listener, but my girlfriends and I, mid-20s, listen every week now and discuss love. A couple of months ago, I ended things with my boyfriend of a year and a half who I met in college through a mutual friend group. He was relatively shy, so I started things by sliding in the DMs after a social event we had been at. And after some chatting there, he asked me out. Our first date was just a cute starlit talk on our campus hillside. College stuff, haha. It was our first time ever really having a conversation in person. We were both a little nervous, I guess. Well, at one point during the evening, we scooted closer to each other while still in conversation. And when we got close enough that our shoulders touched, he popped wood. I haven't heard that phrase. Popped wood.
Popped wood. Yeah, what is this?
I feel like ever this whole thing was written like this. All this red flag deal breaker section is from years of lore.
It's even got you talking in old world English.
Seriously. Times like, of yore.
Yeah. Did a Jewish mother write this?
He popped
a woody.
After making us Facebook official. I was shocked. I mean, we were pretty much in public. Neither of us addressed it, but he tried to hide it by having us lay on our back. So I was staring at the stars/sky and not at what just happened. The date quickly wrapped up from there, and I returned home alone and felt like I had been through some kind of trauma. LOL. That seems excessive to me. Dazed and confused for sure. There were a lot of ways I could think to rationalize this one odd night/instant. Sure. So I kept seeing him, obviously. My thing is, it wasn't just this one night. It was way more frequent. Every time I kissed him or hugged him or was physically flirty in any way, bam, it was there. During our whole conversation.
Hey!
The wood was there.
Yeah.
During our whole relationship, this one thing kept coming up and him having been my first serious relationship, I never knew how to take it. He never really tried to put the moves on me or even call attention to it ever. Like, okay, yes, in a relationship, sometimes things get intimate and some hard-on is expected, but this seemed excessive. My initial reaction is to feel flattered, but when a touch on the shoulder pitches a tent in your guy's pants, who wrote this? You start to wonder if he just has a problem. is this a red flag or a deal breaker? I feel like someone's conservative Jewish aunt wrote this.
Right? I mean, did he do... Can you let me know? Did he do anything wrong here? I don't think he did.
I mean, this is his girlfriend, right?
When our shoulders touched, he popped wood. I was shocked, and then he tried to hide it by having us lay on our backs. So is she assuming he tried to hide it with the back laying, or because he never talked about it? She said,
"I don't know why you'd be like upset that your boyfriend was like hard." I mean.
And you're in the dark in the starlit place and he pops a wood. How did she know? I guess, how could she see the wood?
Yeah, would she feel
it? Must have been a big dick.
Yeah, maybe he's a big penis.
He's got a huge cock, yeah.
Well, she can't, and I don't know. He just the lingo that she's using, it makes me feel like she's very old school because she says,
Who pitches a tent in their pants? It sounds like my mom wrote this. Who's out there pitching tents? What kind of a guy gets a woody in front of that girl? Yeah,
I think it's like I wouldn't be like traumatized by that. I would think like, okay, like I mean, maybe if I'd never had sex before and I was like a little afraid of the penis, I might be like a little intimidated by it. But
someone with a boyfriend who can't get it up is wishing this was their problem. You know, like that's the problem is like your problem
young,
is someone else's solution. Like he's young, he's fertile, he's ready to go. He's got blood pumping through his veins. It's a young man. Like I'm going full Jewish uncle. He's a young man. Guy gets a boner every now and again. He's attracted to you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess unless it was like if it's really unwelcome, if you're kind of like. I'm trying to think of a scenario where you'd be like, this is off-putting. I guess if it was like happening at dinner when you like held his hand, I don't know. And it was obvious. I mean, I feel like, I mean, you know more about the male anatomy than I do. Is it like, do men just like random, don't they just randomly get hard sometimes for inexplicable reasons?
Random boners do happen. It's more likely when you're younger like this than at my old age to just have a random, you know, it's like in, you know, you're in high school, you put it in your belt to like against your body to like hide it. Like this is the random boner. Ooh, horrifying. Not a fun thing. And then you're like, I can't get, like, you know, the bell rings and you're like, I got to leave class. I got to get rid of this thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Like to me, that's what it seems like.
Yeah. But even this is more innocent than that. It's not like they were like, hey, she was like, hey, they were on a first date. She's like, hey, I got to go to CVS. And then they were in line at CVS somewhere on their date and he bumped into her back and then she happened to be hard. Like it wasn't like that. You
right.
know?
I want to know one, how did she know? Is like,
I think of her in the most cartoonish way right now. Like every time she's just like, what? You know, big right. eyes.
I would be more turned off if he was talking about a boner constantly, yeah. like whenever she touched him. But if he just like kind of has one, that seems slightly beyond his control.
Yeah, having it, not mentioning it, is actually less weird than, hey, I know hard. This is going to be weird, but I have a boner. Even the word boner, like it would make him sound young and not really like experienced. Like, I know this was college, but.
Yeah, I think this girl's kind of the issue here.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Can you get wet randomly?
Yeah, that happens. I think it's less. You can see it less.
Has there ever been a scenario where you're like, oh my God, I can't move right now? Because like there are scenarios where you're like,
not like that.
As a man, where you're like, I need to just chill here so that I can get the fuck out of here.
Get this down.
Get this down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got to put out the fire. Yeah.
I don't think I've never heard of that with like female arousal, that being an issue. But I would imagine like if you could control it, you would control it.
Well, nipples hard.
Yeah. That happens.
Nipples hard is a thing.
It's like every time I touch her, nipples get hard.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
lame.
How could she?
Right.
Yeah. Well, listen, we solved dating again, Jordana. We did it, right?
We did it. We did it again. We solved dating. We will be back on Sunday with special guest Dr. Lori Gottlieb. And it's going to be a great episode. So tune in, check out You Up With Benefits, check out Pop Alarm Podcast. We'll see you Wednesday.
Boom.
You Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Maddie Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at You Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to youup@betches.com. Betches.